the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, opening day was yesterday, so baseball season has officially begun. So, very excited about that, even though the Giants got completely obliterated by the New York Yankees yesterday. But, you know, if you listen to my baseball predictions over the last couple of weeks, you would know that I have low expectations for my San Francisco Giants, but have extremely high expectations for the Yankees. So, I wasn't shocked that the Giants got their asses beat. But would have been nice if they came to compete, but they certainly did not. But it was a nice day of baseball yesterday. So, today's show is going to be all about basketball because we got a lot of basketball talk to begin with. Let's start off with the Final Four. That is tomorrow. Final Four teams fighting for this national championship. I doubt many of us in our brackets had this Final Four, San Diego State versus Florida Atlantic and Miami versus UConn. I doubt a lot of people had any of those teams in their brackets, but let's get started. If you'll remember, my bracket was completely busted last week, had the Texas Longhorns as my national champions, and they blew it last week. So my bracket was busted last week, and as I'm sure yours was as well. But let's get started with the first matchup, San Diego State versus Florida Atlantic. San Diego State is the only team of mine that I picked to advance to the Final Four. So congratulations to me for being that person who actually believed in them. But other than that, rest of my bracket, kaput. But San Diego State versus Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic is the Cinderella squad this year, obviously. Nobody really predicted they would be here. Here they are. San Diego State, though, to me, they have been a team that has been climbing and grinding in March Madness over the last couple of seasons. That's why I picked them to go to the Final Four, just because I could just see when you're a tournament squad, there's a reason why you make the Final Four or win championships. It's the same thing with UConn. They're a very, very good team that knows how to play well come tournament time. So San Diego State, that's one of the reasons why I pegged them as one of my Final Four teams, because I looked at them and I've just been watching them over the last couple of seasons, and I just feel like they're a really good team. They're definitely good defensively. Florida Atlantic, they're just a Cinderella squad. While it would not shock me at this point that for them to make the championship game, I just kind of feel like San Diego State is going to give them a wake-up call this weekend, and I feel like San Diego State's defense is going to come to play, and they're just going to knock down the shots when they need to, and I have San Diego State moving on to the national championship on Monday night. Then the second matchup in the Final Four is Miami versus UConn. UConn, as I just said, they historically, and this is why they have so many national championships, they've always been a great bracket tournament team, always have been, including their own division when they or our own conference. Their conference championships roll around, they tend to win the conference championship. So UConn has always been that team. But this year, not only are they playing well in the tournaments, but they are blowing every team out. They've played... They've won by like a 20-point margin in every game so far in March Madness. So while Miami has also had a very solid season, very surprising season, and not a lot of people had them going this far in the tournament, I still think they're going to put up a good game against UConn. I don't think it's going to be as much as a blowout as UConn has had in throughout the tournament, but I do think UConn's going to dominate this game. And I've got UConn also moving on into the national championship. So Monday night, my national championship is going to be San Diego State versus UConn. So we'll see what happens. It would be pretty hilarious if Florida Atlantic ends up there, because I can guarantee you nobody had Florida Atlantic in their bracket. And if they did, it was probably one of the team's dads or one of the players' dads or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who like has some connection to Florida Atlantic. But other than that, ain't nobody else had Florida Atlantic going. So, but it would be funny if Florida Atlantic went there. But regardless, those are our matchups for the Final Four this weekend. We'll see where we're at on Monday's show with that. So let's get to more basketball, you know, since it is Friday, and we only have one more week left of the regular season of the NBA. And so it's time to take a look at the playoff picture, because as I said, it is the last week of basketball. Basketball ends, regular season ends next Sunday, y'all. So we are in the final stretch of things here. The play-in starts on April 11th, and the playoffs begin April 15th. So we are 2 weeks away from the playoffs beginning. And then, of course, like I said, play-in is April 11th. So let's see where we are at with the playoff standings at this current point in time, beginning with the Western Conference. Right now, number one seed is still the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 51-25. Number two seed are the Memphis Grizzlies, 48-28. Number three seed, the Sacramento Kings, 46-30, who just clinched a playoff spot for the first time in, I believe, what, like 18 years? Something crazy like that. So congratulations to the Kings. They are playing well and one of the top teams out West. Who would have thought? Number four seed right now in the Western Conference, Phoenix Suns at 41-35. Number five seed, Los Angeles Clippers at 41-36. And the number six seed would be the Golden State Warriors at 40-37. So the play-in tournament would be the number seven seed, New Orleans Pelicans, 39-38. And the number eight seed would be the Minnesota Timberwolves at 39-38. Number nine seed would be my shitty-ass Los Angeles Lakers at 38-38. And the number 10 seed, Oklahoma City Thunder, at 38-39. Turning over to the Eastern Conference, the number one seed remains the Milwaukee Bucks at 55-22. Number two seed, the Boston Celtics, 53-24. Number three seed, the Philadelphia 76ers at 50-26. Number four seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers at 48-29. Number five seed, the New York Knicks at 44-33. And the number six seed, the Brooklyn Nets, at 41-35. So the play-in tournament side on the Eastern Conference, number seven seed, Miami Heat, at 40-37. Number eight seed, Atlanta Hawks, at 38-38. Number nine seed, Toronto Raptors, at 38-38. And rounding out the play-in tournament on the Eastern Conference side at number 10, Chicago Bulls, at 36-40. So I kind of, like I said, this is the last home stretch. I kind of feel like these 10 teams on each side are probably going to be it. It's just a matter of seeding. But I kind of feel like the number one and two seeds on both sides in the West and East are pretty much set. I feel like the Denver Nuggets, they've owned the Western Conference. So, I mean, they have 51 wins and Memphis has 48. So that's kind of a tough hill to climb at this point in the season. So I would not be surprised to see the Denver Nuggets to hold on to that number one seed. And then same with the Bucks, even though they got blown out by Boston last night, I still think the Bucks are going to maintain that number one seed. And then Boston's going to maintain that number two seed. And then we'll just see here. But like I said, I feel like it's pretty much these 10 teams are pretty much what they are. That is what it's going to be. But we are in the home stretch of things here. And we'll see where we're at next week, but we are almost at the playoffs. And with that being said, today's Trop 10 list, yes, it's a 10 list because it's a big one today. I felt like this is what we call one of the great debates in sports, especially if you're a basketball fan. I figured since it's, the hot time in basketball season, you know, we've got March Madness going, we've got the Final Four this weekend. So that's big doings. And then we've got the NBA playoffs right around the corner. You know, LeBron James just passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the all-time leading scorer in the NBA. So it's always a conversation in the NBA as who are the greatest players of all time. And I felt like it's time for me to to put in order who I feel are the top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. Yeah, that's right. The top 10 NBA GOATs of all time. Since it's such a big list, I couldn't do just five. It had to be 10 because you got to give respect to all of them. This 10 was very difficult to whittle down. To me, the top two, I feel like, are hands down. They are the top two. For many reasons, once we get there, you'll understand why. But I feel like the top two players that I put at number one and two, they could alternate between one and two. It was difficult for me to really, really decide who I was going to put where. There were a couple on here. There's one player in particular. I know you all are going to think, oh, it's because you love him. Yeah, we'll just say it, my favorite player of all time. If you've been listening to the show or you know me, you know who that is. But once we get there, we'll get there. But you'll think there's bias, but there is not. I analyzed the stats. I looked at other people's lists throughout the history. It was difficult to do this. You know, I really struggled with who I thought should go where, but I feel like this to me are the top 10 NBA GOATs of all time. My parameters kind of in this: number one thing that matters to me when I am discussing any GOAT ever, championships. That is all I care about. That is the number one fucking stat. So that did play a factor into some of these players as to maybe why you think they should be higher or lower. But to me, the number one factor in anything that matters to me the most are championships. Then, of course, how you play in the postseason, just overall, that matters. If you do not shine when the lights are brightest, you do not matter to me. And that goes for my own teams. If you play for one of my teams and you fade away come playoff time or come right now, since we're talking about the NBA finals time, if you can't show up during the biggest moments, you are a piece of fucking shit in my book, and I don't want you on my team. So that matters most to me. Number fucking one are championships. 100%. Now, of course, that is not the only thing that matters. Championships. A couple of things I noticed with all 10 of these players is they are great at all levels of basketball that they played in. So a few of these players on my list here, they actually did not attend college. They went straight from high school to the NBA. And that matters, though, that the fact that they skipped college, came right into the NBA, and they both shined. One, he had to sit on the bench for a little bit, but that was just because of the circumstance he was in. The other one shined right off the fucking bat. But then others who did have college careers, they were great, even at the college level and also at the high school level. So the guys who I have on my list who skipped college, they were great in high school. They were obviously great in high school. But then also, too, same with these other guys. They were great in college. They won national championships or got their teams to national championships. They were All-American players. And then also, they were great in high school as well. So these are people or players that I'm selecting who have had spectacular careers at every single level of basketball they have ever played at. Some of these guys have even been coaches. Now, I did not count their coaching careers. I'm not even going to discuss really their records as coaches or anything. These are just straight up players, because I feel like being a player and being a coach are two separate things. But some of these guys, yes, they would go on to coach, including one who coached. It was a coach and a player at the exact same time. Who also made this. So that's another parameter I had onto this. Then also as well, transcendence of the game. Some of these guys, one of them in particular, basically created branding for all, not just athletes and basketball players, but for all celebrities who have a brand nowadays can thank one of the top 10 NBA GOATs of all time for branding ever. And we all know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. Not going to say it right now. We'll get there when we get there. But their transcendence of the game, kind of their impact on the game as well. Like if they kind of changed the game. A lot of these guys, once they hit the league, literally changed the game for whatever reason. Then also just what kind of dominating player they were, who, if they dominated just in their prime, if they dominated in the playoffs, if they dominated, if they were just like an MVP type player for a 3 to 5 year span, or longer in some of these cases here. But that too. Then also on this list, there is only one player who is currently playing in the league who I even considered on this, because for me personally, I can't count you if you are still playing in the league. Now, one player I did, and that's just because his entire resume speaks volumes. He's won championships. He's multi-time record holder in many categories of things, and he's also at the tail end of his career, so I kind of feel like I could put him in here. But there's a couple players who are currently in the league who I did debate upon, Steph Curry being one of them, just because he, speaking of impact on the game and changing the game, Steph Curry 100% is a player who changed the game, but he's not a player I can't consider for my top 10 at this point in time because he still has the rest of his career to go. And we don't know how long it's going to be. We don't know what it's going to look like. He could win more championships. He could do a lot more, but it's a player like Steph Curry who I did not consider just because he still has a way to go. And there was one player and one player alone who I could consider in this. And everybody's going to be mad at a couple of these, especially the current player, because a lot of people think this current player in the league is the number one overall player of all time. And in my opinion, he doesn't even come close. He didn't even reach my top five. He made the top 10 because I'm not that disrespectful towards the player. I respect him and his career, but he is not the number one overall player ever. It's at least on my list. He could be on yours, but you little fangirls, sorry, he ain't number one on mine, and he will never be number one on mine. Doesn't even come close. So let's get started. Now that we kind of got the little bit of parameters set here, let's get started on the top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. The top 10 NBA GOATs. I'll shorten it to GOATs just because it's easier to say that the multiple times I will be saying it. But we all know these are the greatest top 10 of all time. As I said, this was a difficult list to put together, but I feel these are the top 10 players ever in the NBA, beginning with Wilt Chamberlain, who played from 1959 to 1973. He was primarily a center. He played for the Philadelphia/San Francisco Warriors. Then he played for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Lakers. And if you really look at the history of the NBA, he was pretty much the first real superstar. He was the cool dude. He was who you wanted to be. When you're playing basketball, if you were playing with your friends and I'm going to be so-and-so, you would be Wilt Chamberlain if you were growing up in this time. He was cool. He was flashy. He was dominating. He was everything. And so to me, he was the first superstar in the NBA in this era, and he just dominated his time. First of all, beginning with his championships, he is a two-time NBA champion. He won in 1967 and 1972. His overall finals series record is 2-4, so he's been to 6 NBA finals overall, and he won 2 of them. In total, Wilt Chamberlain owns 72 NBA records. So obviously, I'm not going to mention all of the records he owns, but he is, of course, the one player ever to score 100 points in a game. There isn't even footage of it. You can't even see it. You can't even watch it. We don't even have any locker room footage of him. All we have is the one picture of him holding up a piece of paper that says 100 on it. And Wilt Chamberlain was literally the most dominating guy at this time. Now, Bill Russell played at the same time, and Bill Russell does make this list just so y'all know. But him and Bill Russell were the two most dominating players in the league. But if you, like I said, you wanted to be the cool dude, you wanted to be Wilt Chamberlain. But he had a 100-point game, and he just dominated every single motherfucker. So let's just run off a few of the accomplishments in the great career that was Wilt Chamberlain. He was NBA Finals MVP in the 1972 NBA Finals. He is a four-time MVP. He won MVPs in 1960, 1966, 1967, and 1968. So he won three straight. That's how dominating this dude was. He was a 13-time NBA All-Star. He was the NBA All-Star Game MVP in 1916. He is a seven-time All-NBA First Team, three-time All-NBA Second Team, two-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1960, seven-time NBA Scoring Champion, and he was the seven-time champion from 1960 to 1966, so he did it 7 years in a row. He was the all-time scorer as a center. He was the 11-time NBA Rebounding Champ, NBA Assist Leader in 1968. He had the most rebounds in one game with 55. He's been on the NBA anniversary team of the 35th anniversary, the 50th anniversary, and the 75th anniversary. He also played with the Harlem Globetrotters as well, right before he went to the NBA, because he didn't want to play. He played college, was very dominating. He played with the Kansas Jayhawks, took them to a national championship, but didn't want to play in college anymore. So he ended up playing with the Harlem Globetrotters for a year and then went to the NBA. But he was a draw as a Harlem Globetrotter. But also, mentioning his college career, when he played for the Kansas Jayhawks, he was the NCAA Tournament Most Outstanding Player in 1957. He was a two-time consensus First Team All-American in 1957 and 1958. He was also First Team All-Big Seven in 1957. He was also Mr. Basketball USA in 1955, and his career stats are points. He has a career stats of 31,419 points, averaging 30.1 points per game. He had 23,924 career rebounds, averaging 22.9 rebounds per game, and then had 4,643 career assists, averaging 4.4 assists per game. So as I said, Wilt Chamberlain, one of the GOATs, the first real superstar that the NBA ever had. And I mean, he just dominated his time, his era. And he played alongside, I mean, this era of basketball, you know, this day and age, it's not really about the center anymore. But you're going to find I have quite a few centers in my top 10, and that's just because the center position used to be the most dominating position out on the court. Not anymore, but it used to be. And Wilt Chamberlain played in a time where you had literally some of the greatest centers ever, and he was one of them, and he did his damn thing. So he was number 10 on my top 10 NBA GOATs. At number 9 on my top 10 NBA GOATs, I have Larry Bird. Played from 1979 from 1992. He was primarily a forward. Played his entire career with the Boston Celtics. Obviously, his transcendence. He changed the game. Both he and Magic Johnson changed the game. They made basketball what it was in the 80s. Everybody wanted to tune in to Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson, whether it was when they were in college or whether it was when they were in the NBA, but you knew this was going to be the funnest game ever, and Larry Bird was part of the reason why. This guy was a badass motherfucker. He has some of the greatest moments in NBA history where he would look at you, and he would look at you and say, I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to stand in this spot, and I'm going to shoot a three, and I'm going to make it. And he would then, that's what would happen on the next play. He'd get the ball on the inbound, turn around at the three-point line, turn around, make it, and then just have this look right the dude right in the eye and be like, see, bitch, told you. That's what kind of player Larry Bird was, a scrappy-ass motherfucker. And he, like I said, changed the game and just was one of the main reasons why in the 80s, everybody wanted to watch basketball. He is a three-time NBA champion. He won in 1981, 1984, and 1986. His overall finals series record is 3-2, so he has been to five total finals overall. He is a two-time NBA Finals MVP. He won the Finals MVP in 84 and 86. He is a three-time NBA MVP, 1984, 1985, and 1986, 3 years in a row. He is a 12-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP in 1982. He's a nine-time All-NBA First Team. He's a one-time All-NBA Second Team, three-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1980, NBA All-Rookie Team in 1980, three-time NBA Three-Point Contest Champion winner. He is a two-time 50-40-90 club in 1987 and 1988. And if you are a basketball fan, you know the 50-40-90 club is one of the most unique and rare clubs to ever be in. I believe only two or three players have ever done this before. And the fact that he's done it twice is amazing. He was also the AP Athlete of the Year in 1986. He's NBA Anniversary Team on the 50th Anniversary Team and the 75th Anniversary Team. He was National College Player of the Year in 1979, two-time Consensus First Team All-American in 1978 and 1979, third-team All-American in 1977, two-time MVC Player of the Year in 1978 and 1979, and he played for Indiana State, if you didn't know, for in college, and he dominated in college. Like I said, he and Magic Johnson, if you grew up in that era, that was what you were watching basketball for these two guys. Larry Bird's career stats, points, career points is 21,791, averaging 24.3 points per game. At career rebounds, 8,974, averaging 10 rebounds per game. And then career assists, 5,695, 6.3 average assists per game. So as I said, Larry Bird, one of the game changers of that era, and just was really, in the 80s, basketball really took off in the 80s. And it just really accelerated from there. But the 80s was where it really just started to take over. And because, I mean, nowadays, basketball fans aren't aware that, you know, even when I was a kid in the 90s, in the early 90s, basketball games, including playoff games, would be preempted and you wouldn't see them till after the 10 o'clock news. And so some games wouldn't be on until like midnight. And that's because basketball wasn't that popular. But in the 80s is when it really people started to grasp onto it. And it was really because of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Their rivalry was just something else. And the two of them really are what I feel kind of set the NBA off into a really positive trajectory and just only went from there, especially with some players that I'm about to mention, including number 8 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of all time, Shaquille O'Neal. Played center from 1992 to 2011. The teams he played for, the Orlando Magic, Los Angeles Lakers, Miami Heat, Phoenix Suns, Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Boston Celtics. If you remember, Shaq was by far one of the most dominating players of all time. As a matter of fact, in my personal opinion, he's the last really dominant center the NBA has had. Because this guy, he, coming out of college, everybody thought this guy was going to be the next Jordan. Because he came in with great charisma. And as I said, was just talking about with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, Shaquille O'Neal took what they did and just made people want to watch basketball even more. He and Kobe Bryant really just made the Lakers team one of the most exciting, watchable teams. Hell, even the Magic team that he played for with Penny Hardaway. Everybody wanted to watch the Magic when Shaq played for the Magic. So just his charisma, who he was, his brand, he was huge. Even though he's, you know, physically huge, he was larger than life as a persona in basketball. I mean, he starred in movies. He was a DJ. He was a rapper. He was in the entertainment world. He was just that dude. He is a four-time NBA champion. He won in 2000, 2001, 2002, and 2006. His final series record is 4-2, so he's been to 6 total NBA finals. He is a three-time NBA finals MVP. from 2000 to 2002. He is an NBA MVP in 2000. Really, the 2000 year for Shaquille O'Neal is one of the craziest years, one of the most dominating years a player has ever had. I mean, like, to watch him score, like, he has like 60-point games. Yet 6-0, not 16, 60-point games. And so that 2000 year when he won the MVP, that was nuts. That guy, he was just so dominating. It was insane. He was a 15-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 8-time All-NBA First Team, 2-time All-NBA Second Team, 4-time All-NBA Third Team, 3-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1993, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1993, two-time NBA Scoring Champion in 95 and 2000, two-time IBM Award winner. He's on anniversary teams, the 50th and the 75th anniversary teams. He was the 1991 AP Player of the Year. He was the 1991 UPI Player of the Year. He was the 1991 Adol Rupp Trophy winner. And then now we're going to get into his college years. He played with LSU, if you don't know. And he was one of the most sought-after players in the early 90s out of college. Hell, out of high school. Shaq could have gone straight to the pros and been dominating. In college, he was a two-time consensus first-team All-American in 1991 and 92, two-time SEC Player of the Year, 91, 92, NCAA blocks leader in 1992, NCAA rebounding leader in 1991. It was USA's Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 1994, McDonald's All-American Game Co-MVP in 1989, first-team Parade All-American in 1989, and he was, of course, Texas Mr. Basketball in 1989. So Shaq has just been one of the most dominating players since high school. His career stats, career points, 28,596, averaging 23.7 points per game. Career rebounds, 13,099, averaging 10.9 rebounds per game. And then career blocks, 2,732, averaging 2.3 blocks per game. So as I said, Shaq not only was a dominating figure in basketball, but he's one of the reasons why branding is where it is today. As I said, he took what Larry Bird and Magic Johnson did and what Michael Jordan did as well, and then just accelerated it even further. And even today, if you're watching TV, you are going to see Shaq in a commercial at some fucking point. And even for the dumbest shit, but who cares? He's making money. If I'm Shaq, I'm taking all the fucking money I can get, so get it, dude. But I mean, that's what Shaq has done. He has really just transcended the game. And as I said, he was in movies. He was a DJ. He was a rapper. I mean, he was the whole package and also a dominating basketball player. So Shaq had to make my drop 10. All right, fangirls, I'm sorry. Get your diapers ready because you are about to shit them. My number 7 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of all time, the only current player on my list right now still playing in the league today would be LeBron James. He was drafted in 2003, still plays to this day. He primarily plays the forward position, but he has, at certain points in his career, played every position, single position on the court. So you definitely have to give it up to him for that, because any player who could do that, that just goes to show what you are, an all-around excellent basketball player. The teams he's played for: the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat, and the Los Angeles Lakers so far. Obviously, LeBron still has a ways to go. So one thing I'm not going to cover with LeBron are his career stats, because obviously he still is going to be padding his career stats, because I feel like LeBron has a good, at least probably 3 years left in him. Who knows, because you never know with injuries and all that, but with the way he takes care of himself, I kind of feel like he's got at least, and the level of play he still plays at, he still has probably another good 3 years in him left. But yeah, he's a 4-time champion. He won in 2012, 2013, 2016, and 2020. His finals series record is 4-6. So he has been to 10 NBA finals overall. He went to 8 straight at one point, so that's a big deal. And a lot of people, as I was saying before I started the list, would put him at number one. I do not, just because I feel like all the six players ahead of him, I feel like are just, especially championship-wise, because as I stated before, the number one thing I care about are championships. Everybody ahead of him has won more championships than him, and has a better championship record than him. So that matters to me. But I can't be disrespectful to the career of LeBron James, because LeBron has been, I mean, you really got to give it up to him. He's been sought after and talked about since he was 16 years old. His junior year of high school is when they started talking about him being the next, basically, Michael Jordan to hit the league. And he really has lived up to those expectations. He's put them on his shoulder and he's carried it, and he has had no issues doing it. So you really got to respect the dude for the moves he's made. You know, he's never really had any type of controversies. He's never, like, been caught doing drugs. He's never been caught with, like, any type of scandals. He's never been caught cheating the game. He's never been caught using steroids. He's never... Overall, other than the decision and whoopty fucking do about that, to me, I mean, yeah, it was dumb, but I mean, who the fuck cares? I mean, that if that's what you're holding against LeBron at this point in time, you need to fucking move on at this point. But overall, his career, he's definitely been the most dominant player of this era for sure. Nobody could touch what he did. But like I said, to me, his championship record is why I cannot put him above others. And for the record, I don't believe he's going to appear in any more NBA finals, and I don't think he's going to win any more NBA finals. So I think this is going to be where he's at. Because for one, Lakers ain't going anywhere this year. That's for goddamn sure. Then next year, I guess they could, but I mean, to me, I kind of feel like we're not going to see LeBron in the finals anymore. There's, of course, a possibility. We have no idea what he's going to do in the future. Obviously, he's kind of hanging on for his oldest son, Bronny. He's getting close to, I believe he's, a senior in high school this year. And so he's going to be going to college here pretty soon. So there's still a couple years till he's going to hit the NBA. And once he hits the NBA, who knows if he's going to get selected and where he's going to get selected. Chances are, though, if because he does look like he's going to be a good player. So let's say he's a first pick in the draft. Let's say he's a top 10 pick in the draft. That means he's going to a pretty shitty team. And while LeBron, yes, is a game-changing player, they would be on a shitty team. So chances are LeBron is not going back to another NBA final. So that's probably what his record's going to be. But as I said, he still has time. But I mean, he's accomplished so much, I couldn't overlook him for this list. Because as I said before I began the list, he's padded the resume. He's continuing to pad the resume. And the fact that he is now the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, a record that has stood most of my lifetime, says a lot. And then he's got just so many other records. He's got the championships. He's been the most dominating player of this era. In his brand, he's a billionaire. So, I mean, it just kind of says it all. And in my opinion, you can't disrespect him in the top 10. But he definitely wasn't even close to my top 5. Here are some of LeBron's career highlights thus far. As I said, he is the all-time leading scoring champion, so that's obviously going to continue to grow. He's probably going to make it so out of reach that it's going to take a really, really long time, if ever, for anybody to pass that. And right now, he's currently fourth all-time in assists as well, so he could go further in that. Him and Chris Paul are the only two. Chris Paul's number 3 and LeBron's number 4. So the two of them, they could climb up there, but they do have a ways to go. He is a 4-time NBA Finals MVP. He's a 4-time NBA MVP in 2009, 2010, 2012, and 2013. 19-time NBA All-Star selection, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 13-time All-NBA First Team, 3-time All-NBA Second Team, 2-time All-NBA Third Team, 5-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 1-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 2004, NBA All-Rookie First Team 2004. He was the scoring champ in 2008. He was the assist leader in 2020. He was selected to the 75th anniversary team. He is also the four-time AP Athlete of the Year. He is a three-time Sports Illustrated Sportsperson of the Year. He was a USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 2012. And then, as I said, he did not go to college, but he was extremely sought after in high school. So here are some of his high school accomplishments. He was the two-time National High School Player of the Year in 2002 and 2003, McDonald's All-American Game MVP in 2003, two-time first-team Parade All-American in 2002 and 2003, and then three-time Ohio Mr. Basketball 2001, 2002, and 2003. So obviously, LeBron can continue to add to his stellar career as it is, but he did not come close to even my top six here, because as I said, to me it's all about the championships. Number one, that's what matters most, and all six of these guys ahead of him were killers when it came to the playoffs. Not that LeBron's not a killer, but I'm looking through it real quick just to see if anybody's under 500, and none of them are under 500. As a matter of fact, one of these players went to double digit. A couple of these players went to double digit finals, NBA finals, and they have well above 500 in as their record. So, sorry, LeBron fangirls. I know you guys are all really upset at me because how dare I not at least put him in the top five? He's got to be top five. No, he does not, because these six above him, as a matter of fact, I don't think he comes close to them. But so here are my top six. On my top 10 NBA GOATs of all time. So number six, Tim Duncan. He played from 1997 to 2016. He played power forward and center, but primarily power forward and really the greatest power forward of all time. But since we're talking about just overall NBA players, not position specific, but if we were breaking down just power forwards, Tim Duncan is number one. He, of course, played for the San Antonio Spurs for his entire career, which I just love and respect because it's so rare, especially these days. But, I mean, it's been rare always for a player to play with one team forever. Tim Duncan was that dude. And let me tell you about Tim Duncan. He changed an organization. Not only did he come into the NBA and just play great dominating basketball, but the San Antonio Spurs would still be a laughingstock if it was not for Tim Duncan. Now, you know, they had David Robinson, and he was a baller, but they were never a team that was going to come close to a championship until the day they drafted Tim Duncan. They draft Tim Duncan, and this team turns into one of the most dominating dynasties of all fucking time. The Spurs have not been the same since Tim Duncan retired, by the way. They are a laughingstock of a team and have been, literally, since he retired. They have been at the bottom. I think they've made the playoffs once or haven't even made the playoffs since Tim Duncan retired. So this dude was so dominating that he turned an entire organization all around. So Tim Duncan is that dude. He is a five-time NBA champion. He won championships in 1999, 2003, 2005, 2007, and 2014. His overall final series record is 5-1, so he's been to six NBA finals and only lost one. This guy is a beast. He dominated in a huge era, too, with Shaq and Yao Ming. I mean, this, and Kobe, and Vince Carter, and Allen Iverson. I mean, we had dudes in this era that were just dominants, but Tim Duncan was that dude. And like I said, turned an organization around. The Spurs are five-time champions because of Tim Duncan. And like I said, David Robinson was an amazing, amazing, amazing player. I ain't even trying to diss that dude. I loved David Robinson. As a matter of fact, David Robinson was the first basketball card I ever got in my life. And I loved it. And ever since that day, I was like, I'm rooting for David Robinson. So I love me some David Robinson. But the Spurs weren't shit until the day they drafted Tim Duncan. Let's go over some of Tim Duncan's career highlights, shall we? Three-time NBA Finals MVP, two-time NBA MVP in 2002 and 2003, 15-time NBA All-Star. NBA All-Star Game co-MVP in 2000, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 3-time All-NBA Second Team, 2-time All-NBA Third Team, 8-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 7-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1998, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1998, NBA Teammate of the Year in 2015, USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 2003, Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 2003, IBM Award winner in 2002. He is a member of the 75th anniversary team. Now, let's get to his college accomplishments because he did play for Wake Forest and was just one of the most dominating college basketball players of his era as well. Consensus National College Player of the Year in 1997. Two-time Consensus First Team All-American in 1996 and 1997. Chip Hilton Player of the Year in 1997. NCAA Rebounding Leader in 1997. Three-time NABC Defensive Player of the Year from 95 to 97. ACC Athlete of the Year in 1997. Two-time ACC Player of the Year in 96 and 97. Three-time first team All-ACC from 95 to 97. And his career stats, career points, 26,496, averaging 19 points per game. Career rebounds, 15,091, averaging 10.8 rebounds per game. And career assists, 4,225, averaging 3 assists per game. As I said, Tim Duncan turned the Spurs around. He is a legend. I mean, that dude deserves a statue outside of the Spurs stadium for damn sure, because 5 championships was basically unheard of for the Spurs at one point. And they drafted him and they pretty much went to the playoffs every single year Tim Duncan was there. They were a dynasty while he was there. They were one of the most feared teams while he was there, and they were always fucking in it. Tim Duncan, by the way, one of my most favorite players of all time. Loved watching Tim Duncan. His career was just fan-fucking-tastic. And it was difficult for me to not put him in the top 5. It was hard to put him at 6, but I mean, the 5 above him, I couldn't do it. Now, between 5 and 6, I think you could alternate the two. But once you hear who number 5 is on my list, you're going to be like, oh, well, of course she put him above Tim Duncan because it's my favorite basketball player of all time. So let's get to number 5 on my top 10 greatest basketball players of all time. That would be my favorite basketball player ever. Kobe Bryant played from 1996 to 2016, was a shooting guard. He played for my Lakers for his entire career. So once again, like I said, with Tim Duncan, because Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant are my two favorite basketball players ever. Kobe Bryant's number 1, Tim Duncan is number 2, and I enjoyed the hell out of both of their careers. They both retired the same year. I do have a shirt that has the both of them on it that says end of an era, because that for me was, it was an end of an era, a great era. One of my, I just loved watching them both play basketball, but now we're talking about my dude, Kobe Bryant. He has to be in your top 10. I know a lot of people, when he played, he was one of the most hated, but the dude had such determination and grit from day fucking one. He is a 5-time NBA champion. He won championships in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2009, and 2010. His finals series record is 5-2, so he's been to 6 total. He is a 2-time NBA Finals MVP, NBA MVP in 2008, 18-time NBA All-Star, 4-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 11-time All-NBA First Team, 2-time All-NBA Second Team, 2-time All-NBA Third Team, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 3-time NBA All-Defensive Second Team, 2-time NBA Scoring Champ in 2006 and 2007, which is completely hilarious because, as we all know, Kobe Bryant had the second most points scored in a NBA game with 81 in one of the greatest games of all time. When Kobe played, everybody had a problem with him shooting so much. But in today's game, everybody likes to see you shoot the hell out of the ball. Everybody wants to see Steph Curry just throw it up. But back in Kobe's day, he was just the most selfish motherfucker because he wanted to just keep shooting the ball. But anyways, back to his accomplishments. He's the NBA Slam Dunk Contest champion in 97, NBA All-Rookie Second Team in 97. He was a part of the NBA 75th Anniversary Team. And then now, this is also a player on my list who did not attend college. He went straight from high school to the pros. And if you don't remember, when Kobe was in high school, he actually has a famous practice where he played against the Philadelphia 76ers pro basketball team and actually played really well and schooled a bunch of pro players while he was a high schooler. That's when we all knew Kobe Bryant was going to be the great Kobe Bryant. So here are some of his high school accomplishments. He was a Gatorade National Player of the Year in 1996. The Naismith Prep Player of the Year in 1996, McDonald's All-American in 1996, First Team Parade All-American in 1996, and Fourth Team Parade All-American in 1995. His career stats, career points, 33,643, averaging 25 points per game. Career rebounds, 7,047, averaging 5.2 rebounds per game. And career assists, 6,306, averaging 4.7 assists per game. So as you know, Kobe is my favorite player of all time. That's why I could put him above Tim Duncan, even though if you're just breaking it down, I feel like you could just alternate the two of them. They were a part of the two biggest dynasties of that era. I mean, the Lakers and the Spurs. If the Lakers weren't winning the championship, the Spurs basically were winning the championship. That's what it was for that beginning 2000s era right there. And so, yeah, I think you could alternate the two of them. But for me, of course, I love Kobe, so I'm going to put him above everybody. I would have put him number one if these four above him didn't achieve that much more than him. But Kobe, one of the GOATs. And not only is it sad that he is dead, but it just sucks. When he retired, basketball has not been the same for me personally since he and Tim Duncan retired. I haven't enjoyed it as much. I don't know why. I mean, the players these days are pretty big crybabies, which is kind of a turnoff. And I know I'm not the only one who has that issue, by the way, but they're just not as, they just don't have as much grit and determination as the dudes of the old did. And Kobe was one of those guys. And, you know, as I mentioned with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, those two in the 80s really just took basketball to a whole other level. Kobe was one of those dudes too. He just took what they did and just kept elevating from there. All right, at number four on my top 10 NBA GOATs, I have Bill Russell. Played center from 1956 to 1969. He played his entire career with the Boston Celtics. This is one of the most decorated, accomplished basketball players you will ever fucking see. He is an 11-time NBA champion. Two of those he won as a player coach. Yes, he was a coach and a player at the exact same time. So he won championships in 1957, and then he won took 1958 off. That was when he lost the NBA Finals, his only NBA Finals he ever lost. Then in 1959 through 1966, he won championships then in 1968, and in 1969, he won championships. So as I said, he was 11-1 in his NBA Finals, so he went to 12 NBA Finals. Bill Russell went to the NBA playoffs every year of his career. Basically went to the NBA Finals every year of his career. That says a lot. Yeah, I know a lot of people like to kind of discredit Bill Russell because he didn't play in a time where the players were like they are now. First of all, it's not his fault he played in that time. Also, you're forgetting he played in an era with Wilt fucking Chamberlain. Get a grip, people. One of the greatest ever is Wilt Chamberlain. And Bill Russell dominated his fucking ass. So shut the fuck up. Well, I mean, their careers didn't really coincide that much. But I mean, just come on, y'all. Don't disrespect Bill Russell. He was disrespected enough by Boston Celtics fans at many points in his career. So let's not disrespect the resume that is Bill Russell, because Bill Russell, I feel like he could be number one. I mean, the fact that he's 11-1 in NBA championships should really just say it all. But I know in today's day and age, we're a bunch of losers and we don't really look to championships anymore. We have to make a bunch of excuses to make LeBron James the greatest of all time. But anyways, I digress. Let's get to Bill Russell's career highlights, okay? So he is a five-time NBA MVP in 1958, 1961, 62, 63, and 65. 12-time NBA All-Star, NBA All-Star Game MVP in 1963, three-time All-NBA First Team, eight-time All-NBA Second Team, NBA All-Defensive First Team, four-time NBA Rebounding Champion, NBA Lifetime Achievement Award, NBA Anniversary Team in the 25th Anniversary, 35th, 50th, and 75th. So that's four anniversary teams. Nobody else on this list is there. And then when you take a look at his college career, he was a two-time champion in college basketball as well in 1955 and 1956. He was the NCAA tournament most outstanding player in 1955, UPI College Player of the Year in 1956, two-time Helms Player of the Year in 55 and 56, two-time consensus first team All-American in 55 and 56, WCC Player of the Year in 1956, and three-time first team All WCC 1954, 55, and 56. His career stat lines, career points, 14,522, averaging 15.1 points per game. Career rebounds, 21,620 rebounds per game, averaging 22.5 rebounds per game. And then career assists, 4,100, averaging 4.13 assists per game. So Bill Russell, I feel like, is definitely a guy you can put at number one, just with championships alone. I mean, the fact that he coached the team. And then, as I've mentioned in multiple past episodes when discussing Bill Russell, the dude was treated like absolute fucking shit by even his own fans. If you don't recall, there is a horrible story about he and his wife and children leaving their house and some Boston Celtics fans breaking into his house, breaking and smashing all of his trophies and smearing shit in their bed. That is what they did to an 11-time NBA champion. So just the fact alone, the shit that Bill Russell had to put up with through his career, he was one of the greatest ever and really didn't get respect at all until well after his career. I mean, he didn't even get a statue in front of the Boston Celtics Arena until, I believe, 2010, 2011. And his career ended in 1969. That says a lot because Bill Russell is one of the most legendary players ever. Whether or not you got him at number one or even in your top 10 of players ever, he is a legend. And the fact that one of the greatest ever took that long to get a statue in front of the team he played for and coached for and won 11 championships for, that's appalling. But Bill Russell, I respect the fucking shit out of you, and you are at number four on my top 10 NBA GOATs. All right, now at number three on my top 10 NBA GOATs, Magic Johnson. He played from 1979 to 1991 and then came back for the 1996 season. He primarily played point guard, but he was also a player just like LeBron James, who played every single position at some point in his career. So that does say a lot. He played for the Lakers for his entire career. He is a five-time NBA champion in 1980, 1982, 1985, 1987, and 1988. His finals record is 5-4. So he's been to nine NBA finals. And as I was saying about Larry Bird, and hell, even as I was saying about Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson owned their era. If the Celtics weren't winning the championship, it was the Lakers who were winning the championship at that point in time. So, and as you see, I mean, when I just named it off, it's basically like every other year, Magic Johnson won. And then, of course, unfortunately, you know, he contracted HIV in 1992. So, of course, he had to retire. And then he did come back for 1996 season, but he just was never the same. So, honestly, what really sucks about Magic Johnson's career ending is he could have potentially been the greatest player of all time because he had to retire in the prime of his career. I mean, he was still, at that point in time, one of the best players ever to be playing the game. And he was still tearing it up and still playing great, top-notch basketball. So he could have added a lot more to this resume that he already has. But unfortunately, he was HIV positive and had to retire. Other than that, here are his career stats beyond that. He's a three-time NBA Finals MVP, three-time NBA MVP in 1987, 1989, and 1990, 12-time NBA All-Star, two-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, nine-time All-NBA First Team, All-NBA Second Team, NBA All-Rookie Team, four-time NBA assists leader, two-time NBA steals leader, IBM award winner in 1984, NBA Lifetime Achievement Award winner in 2019. He's an NBA anniversary team member in the 50th and the 75th anniversary teams. Then, of course, his college career at Michigan State was also outstanding. He won the national championship in 1979, beating out Larry Bird. He was the Final Four Most Outstanding Player in 1979, Consensus First Team All-American in 1979, Second Team All-American in 1978, Third Team All-American in 1978, two-time First Team All-Big Ten in 1978 and 79, First Team Parade All-American in 1977, McDonald's All-American in 1977, and Mr. Basketball of Michigan in 1977. His career stat line, career points, 17,707, averaging 19.5 points per game. Career rebounds, 6,559, averaging 7.2 rebounds per game. And then career assists, 10,141, averaging 11.2 assists per game. And, I mean, if you watch Magic Johnson, he changed the game when he hit the scene. There was not a point guard at his size level when he played the way in the era that he did, and he just really, really dominated this era and changed the game. And like I said, he and Larry Bird were those dudes in the 80s. They really just took the NBA. Ratings were through the roof. You know, that's when you first started getting shoe deals, and boom, here we are in today's NBA. And you could really thank the greatness that is Magic Johnson and also Larry Bird. All right, so now moving on to number two on my top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. This might be upsetting to some people, but when I explain it and break it down, you'll know. But I feel like you can alternate these two at one and two as well, because obviously to me they are number one and two. Because there's only one person who has more rings than them, and that would be Bill Russell, who has 11. But both of these guys are six-time NBA champions, so it's like you look at that. So really, for me, what really separated these two is that number one, basically, if you look at his entire career, including college and high school, he's probably the greatest basketball player ever, like to just touch a basketball. Like, he was just built to play basketball. So number two might be upsetting to some people, but I put him there, and that is Michael Jordan. He played from 1984 to 1993, then 1995 to 1998, and then 2001 to 2003. He was a shooting guard, played for the Chicago Bulls and the Washington Wizards. Now, when I started, before I started the list, I did mention that there was one person on here who really changed branding for everybody, for all people in the entertainment industry, not just basketball players, not just athletes, but every single entertainer who has a brand and has some type of shoe deal or some type of drink deal or just some type of endorsement deal, they can all thank Michael Jordan, because the Jordan brand is really, really what created the branding era, and it's just taken off from there. So we can all thank Michael Jordan. If you are a person who is receiving some type of endorsement deal, thank Michael fucking Jordan, because that dude started that scene and he's still continuing it. I mean, it's crazy how much the Jordan brand earns to this day. I mean, it's just insane what Michael Jordan did and what Michael Jordan did for the game in general. Because like I just said about Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, in the 80s, they took off. And then from there, it went Michael Jordan. And then from there, it was like Shaq and Kobe and Tim Duncan. And now we've got LeBron and Steph Curry. So it's like Jordan was like the Nike swoosh. I mean, it's perfect. Because that's what his trajectory was. Just straight the fuck up, and it's still going straight the fuck up. So, of course, he is a six-time NBA champion. He won championships in 91, 92, 93, 96, 97, and 98. That's right. Two three-peats. His finals record, 6-0. Yeah, 6-0. So he hasn't even lost the finals. The thing about Michael Jordan, too, you feared Michael Jordan. You did not want to play Michael Jordan. The dude would step on the court and change everything. He was a six-time NBA Finals MVP. Yep, he won the MVP in all six of the finals he played in. Five-time NBA MVP in 1988, 1991, 1992, 1996, 1998. 14-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 1-time All-NBA Second Team, NBA Defensive Player of the Year in 1988, 9-time NBA All-Defensive First Team. So while Michael Jordan gets credit for being very cutthroat and making some of the greatest shots of all time, clutch shots of all time, notice I'm talking about his defense. He does not get credit for what an amazing defender he was, just like Kobe Bryant. NBA Rookie of the Year in 1985, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1985, 10-time NBA Scoring Champion, 3-time NBA Steals Leader, 2-time NBA Slam Dunk Contest Champion in 87 and 88, 3-time AP Athlete of the Year in 91, 92, 93, Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year in 91, 2-time IBM Award winner in 85 and 89. He's a part of the 50th and 75th anniversary teams. And then turning to his college career, when he played for the Tar Heels, North Carolina Tar Heels, he won a national championship in 1982. National College Player of the Year in 1984, 2-time Sporting News National Player of the Year in 83 and 84, 2-time Consensus First-Time All-American in 83 and 84, ACC Player of the Year in 84, ACC Athlete of the Year in 84, 2-time First Team All-ACC in 83 and 84, ACC Rookie of the Year in 82, and 2-time USA Basketball Male Athlete of the Year in 83 and 84, McDonald's All-American in 81, and First Team Parade All-American in 1981. His career stat lines, career points, 32,292, averaging 30.1 points per game. Career rebounds, 6,672, averaging 6.2 rebounds per game, and 5,633 career assists, averaging 5.3 assists per game. So Michael Jordan could be your number one, but he is not my number one. My number one on my top 10 greatest basketball players of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He played from 1969 to 1989. He was a center, played for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers. He is also a six-time NBA champion. He won championships in 1971, 1980, 1982, 1985, 1987, and 1988. His final series record is 6-4. So he went to he went to 10 NBA finals and won six of them. That's one of the reasons why I put him above Jordan. He's a 2-time NBA Finals MVP, 6-time NBA MVP in 71, 72, 74, 76, 77, 1980. You also got to remember, too, his famous hook shot, one of the most famous shots. He basically created his own play that nobody has ever really duplicated ever. He's a 19-time NBA All-Star, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 5-time All-NBA Second Team, 5-time NBA All-Defensive First Team, 6-time All-NBA Defensive Second Team, NBA Rookie of the Year in 1970, NBA All-Rookie First Team in 1970, 2-time NBA Scoring Champion in 71 and 72, NBA Rebounding Leader in 76, 4-time NBA blocks leader in 75, 76, 79, and 80. NBA anniversary teams, 35th, 50th, and 75th. And then turning to his college career, and this is what also put him above Michael Jordan, in my opinion, because if you separate Kareem's careers, and of course, by the way, if you don't know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's real name, or born name, is Lou Alcindor. So that's who he was when he played with the UCLA Bruins in his college career. But if you look at his college career and his NBA career and you separate the two of them out, they're two of the most accomplished careers ever in just pro and college. And so this is why I put Kareem above Michael Jordan as my number one GOAT ever. He's a three-time NCAA champion, 67, 68, and 69. Three-time Final Four Most Outstanding Player in 67, 68, and 69. Three-time National College Player of the Year, 67, 68, and 69. Three-time Consensus First Team All-American in 67, 68, and 69. Just so you all know, I am repeating these because just so I can say 69 this many times. He was also two-time Mr. Basketball USA in 1964 and 1965, unfortunately not 1969. And he was also three-time first-team Parade All-American, 63, 64, and 65. His career stat line, career points, 38,387, which stood as the all-time leader all the way till this year. From 1989 until 2023, he owned that record. And he averaged 24.6 points per game, career rebounds 17,440, averaging 11.2 rebounds per game, career assists 5,660, averaging 3.6 assists per game. So, KD's top 10 greatest basketball players of all time. Number 10, Wilt Chamberlain. Number 9, Larry Bird. Number 8, Shaquille O'Neal. Number 7, LeBron James. Number 6, Tim Duncan. Number 5, Kobe Bryant. Number 4, Bill Russell. Number 3, Magic Johnson. Number 2, Michael Jordan. And number 1, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So that is my top 10 greatest NBA players of all time. I feel like they should be on anybody's list. You could just kind of move them around wherever you want to. But that's who I feel are the greatest of all time. And it was difficult to break it down. I did research all week, looked at their stats consistently all week, and just kind of set my parameters and did what I did, and that is who I came up with. So that is my top 10, and I know it's upsetting to a few, especially where I put LeBron, because he's supposed to be number one to some, but not to me. Number one to me is Kareem. Number one is Kareem. You could put Michael there, definitely put my arguments for Michael up there, but I've got number one as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So everybody, enjoy this jam-packed, sports-filled weekend. We've got baseball, we've got Final Four, and we've got NBA. So I hope you all enjoy the great weekend of sports, and I will talk to you motherfuckers on Monday.